Barbadoes and Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbadoes difference. BarbadoesandFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is our gorgeous sister in Christ, Miss Judy Gifford. Her title for this morning is Winning the Battle of the Mind.
Yes. I wanted to just finish reading this right here. It's The Lust of the Flesh. I got to Discord and I didn't finish it, and I just want to finish the rest of it. It says this: jealousies and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, fractions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Mm. So, that whole thing, sinful nature is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. So the acts of the sinful nature, sexual immorality, I'm going to read them once again, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, fractions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So but in the opposite of that is the fruits of the Spirit, which are joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So look what the Holy Spirit does. Everything God gives us is good. Everything he asks for is good. Everything the devil has, it may look good, but there's death under it. Underneath, the Bible says the end of these things is not the beginning of it, but the end of these things is death. There's also scripture said there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So you can't just go on what seems like, because the devil can affect your seem like. So you got to know that you know that you know. The Bible says to make our calling and election sure. So we get what the Word of God says and do what the Word of God says. And it will help the battle of our mind to get and go, well, my mind even feels contrary to that. You know, you go, my mind, well, but this is what the Word of God says. So my mind, Lord, bring my mind in line with what this Word is saying. Amen. And help me to grasp it, obey it, do it. Then we get the fruit of it, which is peace, love, joy, long-suffering, patience, goodness, meekness, temperance.
Whenever Mark passed away, I mean, it was like I crushed me. I've spiraled really bad. And I began to reach for anything that gave me a certain feeling. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you're married, your spouse gives you this certain feeling.
Just proud to stand by.
You know, just a comfort. Y'all know what I mean. And it's like when Mark passed away, I was like, you know, a deer in the headlights. What do I do now? What do I do now?
Who am I? I was Mark's wife. Now, who am I?
And it's like I began to grab at anything that resembled that feeling I had. Mm-hmm. And I began to allow men to move in my home. But God, my son, my own son, thank you for the gift of my son and for his boldness.
Yeah.
My own son came to me and sat with me and he said, Mama, you need to quit living in this sin. And I could see the hurt. Mm-hmm. That it was causing my baby because he knew better.
Mm-hmm. You taught him better.
He learned better and he knew better, so he was trying to be better. Uh-huh. And so he confronted me in the middle of my sin and said, Mama, I love you, but that's enough. You need to quit living in this sin. And maybe I'm like, and he was like, Mama, quit shacking up. And it blew me away, you know, it kind of, but he did it so lovingly and with such care. I could see, you know, the tears building up in my son's eyes when he approached me. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how hard it was for my son to come to me and say, Mama, this is enough.
Enough.
Quit living in sin.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I made the decision, you got to go. I can't live this way. It goes against my God. And I can't. And now being 51 and dating, I don't even allow men to my home. Because I don't, number one, we can meet in a public setting. And my reason for that is because I don't know what kind of spirits they be carrying.
And I tell you what, yeah.
I have fought hard
to be where you are.
I have gone through hours of praying mm-hmm. and repenting to allow any of those spirits
right.
to come back into my house.
Right.
I won't even allow grandsons or granddaughters or daughters or children's boyfriends or girlfriends to stay over. I am not allowing it. And I just, that's one thing I put the hammer down on.
Actually, it's a very wise thing to do.
And yet you would be surprised at how drama free my life has become since I just did that. Mm-hmm. You know, just from doing that simple deal. And then to go a step further, I'm like, okay, Lord. Okay. There will be no more laying with a man until I'm married. Mm-hmm. Period. Not just a little snuggle won't hurt. Nope. Nope. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be some confusion going on that you cannot, if you know better, if you know better, you are expected to do better.
He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
And, you know, we cannot get it twisted. Oh, well, I'll just sleep with this guy, and then I'll ask for forgiveness. It don't work that way.
It doesn't.
Because, you will be held accountable for that. Therefore, you better get it straight. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
It amazes me.
I'm just going to say, we have to untwist it. That is a twistedness.
It's a thing in our generation. It is really a thing. And it's not just young people. Mm-hmm. It's older people, too. And a big deal is the way the government does that a woman has to give up her Social Security when she gets married. So I know some that because of that, they want that income. It was a lot, some good income coming in. And so they go ahead and just live with a person and not marry them. And then there was one person that said, what do you think? And I didn't hardly at the time know even how to answer him, but he said, she doesn't want to give up, you know, we get so much money a month from her first husband. If we get married, she'll have to give that up. So they did a personal ceremony. They made up their own vows. They called people in to witness it, and then they married in their own, actually didn't get married by, I don't know if they had a preacher there or not. And asked me, you know, how God looks at that. Well, I didn't really know what to say at the time, but I listened to Jimmy Swaggart's son. And he goes, are you married? Are you legally married? Then it's sin. I mean, that's what he just said. One lady said, well, we're just living together, and we're not having sexual relationships. He said, do you sleep on the bed with him? She said, well, yeah. He said, it's sin. And, you know, so he Swaggart's son, he wasn't pulling any punches. So I'm going, so really, why not go ahead and take the plunge, so to speak, and do what God says do. And know that you know that you know that you're right with it. Because this is a generation. People come to altars to pray and then go right back home and sleep with somebody that they're not married to. And they think it's okay. But you go in, the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And remember, Jesus told the lady, she said, I don't have a husband. He said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have one. And he said, no, you don't have one, but you've had five husbands. And the man you live with now is not your husband. And she's like, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. You know, and he said, he knew. So he said, the man you're living with is not your husband. So if you're living with somebody and you're not married, they're not your husband yet until you're legally married.
Quit giving your wifely benefits to somebody who ain't your husband.
Yeah.
That's how the Lord gave it to me. I mean, whenever my son told me that, and I began to pray about it, and, process you know, it's it. Like, uh-huh. first, yeah, I had to process it first. Yeah. And then I started praying, and the Lord said, so why would you give away benefits to someone who is not marriage minded?
And not giving back what a marriage gives you. Yeah. He's not giving you security. He's not giving you the upkeep. He's not giving you the husband things, you know. And so you've got to go way.
I don't know why we went there. Well, I do, because the Holy Spirit checked me in my heart and said,
someone needs to
be said.
Uh-huh. Because don't seem like you're right. You got to be right. There's a way that seemeth. Well, we love each other. Good, get married.
Yeah.
You know, we really care about each other. Well, we can't with this circumstance or that. Then don't live with them. Get out.
I'd rather be salt. I'd rather be your salt than your sugar and you go to hell.
Right.
I'm just saying. I'm going to say the truth.
Right.
And that's how the Lord checked my heart.
Uh-huh. I'm going to add one of the things. If you're battling, and we all battle in our minds, and you keep butting up against the same thing, mm-hmm. and you can't get past it, then that's time to pull out. I have a book here by Stormy O. Martin called A Step in the Right Direction, and one of the things that helped her, she had had several abortions, she had had into witchcraft, she had been abused by her mother, locked in a closet when a little girl, when she couldn't get out on her own, went hungry in there, her mama was, quote, insane, kind of, and raising her. Nobody was doing anything about her mom. And so her dad, she had a lot of resentment toward him because he'd leave her with her mom. And then her mama would lock her in the closet when she was little and make her stay till her daddy got home. Just before her daddy got home, they'd let her out. And so she grew up hating her mom, and she grew up with so much bondage that she went to somehow she went to Brother in Van Nuys, California, Brother Jack Hayford's church, and she talked to Brother Hayford, and he gave her some books to read, and then he led her to the Lord, and she wound up getting saved. But then she still had all this baggage, just so much cruddy, duddy stuff. She said, I was curled up in my bed and just curled up, hurting so bad inside. She said she called a counselor to talk to him, and the lady was so rude. She said, she's like, well, what's your problem? She said, well, I'd rather talk to the doctor about it. She said, you have to go through me before you can talk to the doctor. So she said, well, I think, you know, she said, I was abused as a child. She said, we think that a lot of abuse is just in the child's mind. And so she went, you know, hung up the phone. And so there was a lady at the church named Mary Ann and another lady, and I don't know, they did spiritual warfare. And a lot of times the counseling needs to include more than just talk. It needed to include some deliverance. Mm-hmm. And how she got delivered is Mary Ann sent her home to write down all of her sins and to write them all out and to repent of each one of them and then bring the list to her. And so she did that, and she said, I didn't even hope. She said, I'd had depressions 20 years, and she said, I didn't know how to get out of this depression. And she said she didn't think it would make any difference. But after they went through that list and after they prayed over each thing, then they laid hands on her. They anointed her, laid hands on her, and as they began to pray, she said she felt something lift off of her. She said she didn't even really realize something was actually sitting on her. And she said it lifted off of her. And so she goes through here telling you things you need to do. Before they prayed for her, they made her fast 3 days. And she said that was really hard because hunger was something that she went through a lot of hunger as a child. But it wasn't as bad as she thought. And she said so she went 3 days fasting. And then Marianne had to cancel the appointment. And she said so that meant when we had the appointment again, I had to fast 3 more days. And she said the second fast was harder than the first. And so she fasted, though. She'd actually fasted 6 days then. And then when they laid hands on her, that lifted. And she said, and it never came back. Mm. She said she thought maybe it would come back, but it never came back. And then Marianne would deal with her and go, and she said, I sense a nervousness in you. And they prayed about that nervousness, you know, and they just went through and dealt with things for her. And so people began to turn to her to say, how can I? And she had so many people coming to her for help that she finally just wrote a book. And she's also the one that penned The Power of a Praying Wife, The Power of a Praying, you know, Mom. Yeah, and those. But A Step in the Right Direction was first. And she's just saying, God designed fasting to bring us into a deeper knowledge of Him, to release the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, and to bring us to greater health and wholeness. Fasting blesses every area of your mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional lives. It breaks down strongholds that we are not even aware the enemy has erected against us. In fact, the Bible says certain spirits can be broken only through fasting. When Jesus' disciples asked why evil spirits didn't submit to them, he replied, "This kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Mark 9:29. Fasting is like a holy oiling to the so the devil can't hold on to you. It's designed to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. And that is in Isaiah 58:6. It says, if fasting accomplished no more than that, anyone seeking emotional hope would want to take that step of obedience. Who doesn't desire to be free from any hold of the devil? Who doesn't need the power of God to penetrate his circumstances? Who doesn't want to be released from at least one negative emotion? We all do. So what's holding us back? Ignorance and fear. We are ignorant of what the Bible says about the subject of what God wants from us or what fasting can accomplish and of the wonderful benefits. We are also afraid we'll die in the night if we go to bed hungry or without dinner. Or at least we fear the hunger, the headache, the nausea, the weakness, and dizziness that often accompanies infrequent fasts. But there are many good reasons to put up with the discomfort, a number of which I listed on page 84, and I can read those. There are over 80 references to fasting in the Old and New Testament. Jesus himself fasted. If fasting were dangerous or something to fear, why would it be mentioned throughout the Bible? Why would the greatest people of biblical history have done it And why would Jesus have fasted for 40 days? Fasting is a spiritual exercise and discipline during which you give yourself completely in prayer and close communion with God. Discipline always has its rewards. A physical discipline like exercise has physical rewards. A spiritual discipline like fasting has spiritual rewards. Fasting has physical benefits also, but the purpose of this book, I will only emphasize the spiritual. You don't fast to get God to love you. He already loves you, and he will love you just as much whether you fast or not. It is also not a time to get what you want from God. It's a time to draw closer to him, to sensitize yourself, your soul, to his spirit, and see him work mighty on your behalf. And then it goes on to how do you fast. And since once you start to fast, you begin by simply skipping a meal, drinking water, and praying through it. And said, God, I fast this meal to you for your glory, for the breaking down of strongholds in my life, and lift up in prayer all the areas where you know you need freedom. Say, for example, Lord, I fast this day for the breaking down of strongholds the devil has erected in my mind in the way of depression, confusion, unforgiveness, and anger. So that's really a good. And then on page...
And Jesus said, when you fast, not if.
Yeah, Jesus said, when you fast, not if. And they didn't fast while Jesus was with them, but they did afterwards. And the disciples. And then it says 20 reasons to fast. I'll run down this. To purify and cleanse the spirit, soul, and body. To receive divine guidance and revelation. To seek God's face and have a closer walk with him. To hear God better and to understand his will more fully. To invite God's power to flow through you more mightily. To establish a position of spiritual strength and dominion. To break any bondage that is on you. To receive clarity of mind, that one's a real important one. To be free of evil or debilitating thoughts. To break through depression. To weaken the power of the devil in your life. To stabilize you when life seems out of control. To be strengthened in your body and soul. To break the lusting of the flesh after anything. Mm-hmm. To discover gifts God has placed in you. To be released from heavy burdens. To establish a clean heart and a right spirit within you. To be set free from negative emotions. To find healing and to gain strength for what you don't have the ability to do. Mm. So, praise God. It says, because fasting is an instrument for defeating the enemy, it's a key to deliverance and emotional wholeness. Don't neglect it. Even after you've been set free, Satan will look for ways to put you back into bondage. Be determined to slip through his fingers by walking ongoingly in this step of obedience. So that's good. And the scripture there says, is this not the fast I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor that are cast out? And when you see the naked, that you cover him, and hide not yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall bring forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, and pointing a finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light will dawn in the darkness, and your darkness will be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places, and you shall raise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Isaiah 58:6-12. So, anyway, there's other ones that talks about live in obedience through denouncing the occult. She had to do a lot of stuff. You live in obedience. And then it says 20 reasons to praise the Lord, 20 reasons to pray. Prayer is a real important thing. For her, it was getting the knowledge of the word, and then she fasted, and then she they prayed for her, and then she began to walk in that deliverance. And anyway, the battle's here, and so we need to get a hold of the word to help stabilize us and pray, and then fasting will help.
You know, when I first came back to the Lord after all my stuff, when I came to the end of myself, the Lord told me to get back to my basics. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how old I was when I came, whenever I heard it, but Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. To me, whenever he said, you need to get back to the basics. To me, in my thinking, in my understanding, I thought he meant back to Texas because that's where I'm from, you know, back to basics. So that's what I thought, you know, and that did help me. He did use that for my good. But when he said to me, get back to the basics, daughter, this is the basics he was talking about.
Right.
He wasn't talking about going to a place. He was talking about his word.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to get back to my Bible and get back into it because it is basic instructions before leaving Earth.
And
if you don't, and I quit reading because I just didn't understand the King James. I'm sorry. I don't talk like that. That's not my language.
These in the house.
You know, and it would confuse me.
Uh-huh.
But my son and my beautiful daughter in love got me this NIV Life Application Study Bible. I can't get enough.
Mm-hmm.
I've read this at least 3 times in the past 5 years. And now I've got a Passions Translation, and I really like that one too.
Uh-huh.
And I'm on my second go round on that one.
Yeah.
And I don't read it to see how fast I can get through it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I read it to absorb it like a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, when I get full, I can pour out.
Right.
You know, a sponge absorbs so much. And then when you squeeze it, the water comes out.
Right.
And to me, the Lord, that's how the Lord's helped me stay in the boat.
Right.
Stay in him.
Right.
Is, you know, just be the sponge.
Yeah.
Be the sponge. And when you get squeezed, my words will come out. I was like, oh, I like that. I take that. That's mine. I will take that and I will hold that because, okay,
yes.
Be like a sponge. Don't see how fast because... Okay. Okay, I'll admit it. The first time I read it was to see how fast I could read it. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me for that, Father. But now it's like, that's why I got that correction, okay? He corrects those he loves.
Yes.
However, this is important. However, if we don't take his corrections, and apply them to our lives, there's not going to be a change.
Right. The devil keeps hitting on the same
Area. Get offended and don't get upset and don't, not that word. Okay, yes, sir, not that word. Thank you, Lord. Don't get in your feels. I was going to say something else, but he said don't say that. So just don't get in your feels. I love you, Lord. Whenever he gives you correction. And the proper response to love is love. And it's like, you know, when your parent, when I love you, Lord. When you was disciplining when you had to discipline your children, your boys, Brett and Brad, did they ever ignore you?
I don't remember being ignored.
Well, I got 2 grandsons at home, and there's one that's 10.
Oh, okay.
And boy, howdy, sometimes he just ignores me. And it gets on my, it gets on my feels.
Yeah.
Good, thank you, Lord. You know, when the Father speaks, he speaks out of love. Therefore, the proper response is I love you too. Yes, sir. Help me apply this correction to my life and help my want to, because sometimes it don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Right. And sometimes there's confusion and miscomprehension and things we have to walk through. And you say, God, you just straighten the crooked. Get that scripture. I think go through the scriptures and just get in the scriptures, speak to you, circle them, write your name there, write your kid's name there if you're believing for your prodigal, you know, or your healing or whatever. Write in your Bible, you know, and write, claim those.
I had an issue with that, writing in my Bible at first.
Yeah.
Because it's like God's word, you know. It's like I didn't want to disrespect God by writing in his, you know. Yeah. I went through that, you know, and that was the enemy attacking me, trying to put thoughts in my head, telling me, oh, that's disrespectful. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, no,
you know, and it was like, so I took it to the Lord. And he was like, I would love for you to write what speaks to you in that Bible. That way you can go back to it when you need it, when you need the reminder.
Right. And then what your thoughts were there. Mm-hmm. And even the date sometimes is neat. You go, oh, that, and that was this. My mother would, if a pastor preached on something, she'd write his name there and then mark that scripture. And so in her Bible, this is not hers, but in her Bible, I don't mark in her Bibles. I look at her Bibles and see what she marked. And I know those were all her markings and not mine.
Get in the word. Get in God's word. It's truth. And it brings light.
Yes.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our awesome, gorgeous sister in Christ, Miss Judy Gifford. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.